the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Coming up the end of day two of the Great Escape Festival, and one of the artists that a lot of people are looking forward to seeing is Áine Cathal. She joins me on a sofa in a church. We're kind of in a downstairs room. There's a table, tennis table, just over behind her shoulders. Áine, how are you?
I'm doing grand today. We just had a few games of table tennis. To be honest, I won. Just put that out there. I'm the winner. Well, me and Lorena, we were a team. Lorena's my drummer. No, I'm so excited to play the show, and yeah, really looking forward to it. I'm delighted to be in Brighton because I always wanted to come and I've never been before, so it's my first time.
Cool. So how long are you here for?
We are doing the show now, and then we're going home tomorrow. We have no time to stay.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
So you've got to go see the pier, get some chips on the seafront, and an ice cream as well, maybe.
We had ice cream.
Did you?
Yeah, they were giving away free ice cream in the town, so we got some.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a local tip. Don't eat ice cream too close to the pier, because you will get a seagull.
No.
It happened to me once, yeah.
I do that just to see what happens. I would definitely do that.
Or to be honest, if you actually hang around the pier for long enough, you will see someone get something stolen by a seagull.
Oh, I would love to do that. That would be great. I'm going to do that.
That can be your one moment of Brighton culture there. So how are you feeling ahead of your gig this evening?
I'm feeling confident. I think after sound check it went really well. It's a lovely venue. I love playing in churches. We've played in our fair share of churches in the last few months now, and I love playing in them. I think they really suit the vibe that we have. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
So you said you've played some churches recently back in Ireland. You were doing a tour of Ireland, weren't you?
Yeah, we did a tour just recently. We finished a few weeks ago. None of them was in churches, but we played Christ Church back in November, and then when we did Eurosonic Festival, we played a church, and when we did Live at Leeds, we played a church. So I think churches are following us around, but I love this venue, and down here where we are in like the artist area is really cool with the pool table and stuff.
So you're the go-to church singer then, investment-wise.
Yeah, it seems like it.
So you've come in for the day. Have you kind of had a look at the listings yet, and have any kind of artists pinned for maybe going to see this evening?
I don't have any. No, I have time now, so we might get to catch someone. Probably should look at the lineup and catch someone at least when we are here.
Yeah.
We have a habit of like walking around looking for things and missing everything. Do you know what I mean? Not seeing anything, but you're looking for something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be great to catch someone. Maybe someone from Ireland. We'll see who's on.
Yeah, I was going to say who. What kind of music do you like? But it's kind of well documented that you're a fan, or inspired even by Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Would that be your cup of tea? Would that be kind of the inspiration, perhaps, to some of your sound?
No, I don't think so. Lady Gaga is more of an inspiration. Like, she inspired me to get involved in music and to start trying to teach myself piano and singing and things like that. But in terms of sound, I would say I'm inspired more so by Lana Del Rey, sound and songwriting, and Marina and the Diamonds, and old school kind of jazz from the 1950s, and then some sounds from the 60s as well. I think that kind of describes what kind of artist I am. Like, my vocals, I think, are very old school, like smooth kind of jazzy vocals, and then the sound is like modern but old at the same time. It makes you think back.
So did you, when you were growing up then, because you grew up in Cavan, did you kind of have, your family musical, were they kind of always playing music, or did you kind of discover music by yourself?
No, none of my family actually, like, Mum or Dad wouldn't play music, or my brothers and sisters, none of them. I kind of found it on my own. But Mum's family, like, her father was very into trad music. But in my household growing up, I was really into sports, and all of us would have been sports oriented. Like, I have two older sisters and a younger brother, and it all would have been ga this and ga that and playing GAA, blah, blah, blah. And then when I was 15, 16, I just don't know what made me change, but I changed to music, and that's it.
It's been going pretty good so far.
Yeah, I can't complain. See how we get on this year now.
So you've released, now again, the UK release market is a bit different to Ireland. You've released, I'm going to say, two EPs in the UK. How many EPs have you released altogether?
No, I would have only have one EP.
Right.
But there's another EP on the way. And, like, the first EP I did was really way back. I would have only been doing music for maybe a year, and all the songs I wrote were like really the first songs that I ever wrote. And I wouldn't even call it a release. It was never on iTunes or anything. It was just on SoundCloud and given away for free. So that's 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
So this, I'm releasing an EP called The Pretty Boy, and it will be coming out like early June, I'll say, or mid-June, sometime like that. And that'll be the first EP that is getting properly released anywhere.
Cool. And you've got a new song out next week as well.
Yeah, I think there'll be a new song called Angels and Demons coming out in England. England's getting Angels and Demons. And then after a while of Angels and Demons being out in England, Pretty Boy will be released in England and Ireland and everywhere else.
It gets a bit confusing with the UK and Ireland.
Kind of, yeah. When I was growing up and I was listening to music, like in my teens, and I seen artists releasing songs in different places, I was like, why did I do that? Like, what's the point? But I kind of get it now.
There is logistics and label kind of stuff behind it, isn't there? Yeah. It's kind of weird because, like you said, you kind of release your early music on SoundCloud, which is what a lot of new acts do because it's quite universal, quite global.
Yeah.
The process of kind of releasing music then, do you see yourself doing it in dribs and drabs by means of EPs for quite a while, or are you kind of planning towards maybe something more substantial, a bigger collective of music?
I think after this EP, the focus would be on now to look at an album. And I have a lot of songs written. So it's just a case of picking what I want to put on it and what, and then get them recorded and what, like, I want to showcase in my first full album. Mm,
yeah.
So hopefully that is towards the end of this year, early next year.
So it's on the cards?
I think so. That's what I see next for me anyway, so we'll see how it goes.
Now you're getting a reputation for yourself for being a great live act. You played Glastonbury last year in a small stage, and you were picked up by the BBC to perform on their acoustic stage for TV. How do you find kind of the difference between recording music and actually performing it live?
Well, like when you're recording it, you get to redo things. Do you know what I mean? So if you make a mistake, you get to go back and kind of try and perfect it as best as you can. Whereas live, anything goes and anything can happen and you could make a million mistakes.
Mm.
But I think that is the beauty of going to a live show and seeing someone play live, because you know it's real.
Yeah.
And you know it's not like manufactured in a studio of doing a million takes of one line. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've had time, especially if I'm recording harmonies, and it's something that I've never sang before, like never had in my head for the song. It takes me a while to find out where I'm even going. So yeah, live, I actually would rather live than being in the studio.
So would you see yourself some stage in the future doing a live album or a live EP?
I would definitely do that. There's something so real about live things like that. I would love that. That would be perfect, I think.
It's like almost like give you an idea.
Yeah.
I was getting cut now. No, but I suppose kind of the thing with performing live and kind of practicing live and doing live and stuff like that as well. Obviously, fans can see your kind of your passion and your kind of your love for the music and the tracks and the songwriting as well. How did you kind of get into songwriting? Did you teach yourself songwriting as well? Because you mentioned about learning how to play piano. How difficult did you find the kind of putting a melody together with a tune and with words and lyrics?
I don't know. Like, I've never thought about even writing songs at all. And the first song I ever wrote, I don't remember the name of it, and it's irrelevant and will never be seen again. And then from after that first song, once you break through, I think, the kind of wall in your own head, like, I can't do this. Like, once you write, even if it's like, even if it's really bad, like, at least you know that you can actually write a full song. And then from then on, I was just like, I can do this. And it just kind of came out. For me, songwriting comes in kind of little ideas. Like, the first song I properly wrote, we'll not talk about the other one, was called Hollywood. And I just loved old Hollywood, blah, blah, blah. So I said, right, I start with a title and then I come up with the story for the lyrics. So there's Hollywood, and then Black Dahlia I just loved the words Black Dahlia. And I was watching American Horror Story, and that's how I found out about Black Dahlia. And then I looked it up and then I wrote the song. Same with plastic. I was drawing, I was scribbling. Mm-hmm. And I have a song called Puppet as well. And I was just drawing and scribbling, and I thought Puppet. And then, like, the whole, like, I would say either the chorus or the first verse came straight away. I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah.
How does anyone write a song? Is there? Can you really teach songwriting, or is it just?
Well, I suppose the thing I was speaking to someone about this recently, and I suppose with songwriting, it's kind of there are songwriting classes and stuff. So you need to have a bit of talent towards it, but would you say there's pitfalls in songwriting, things that you kind of have learned not to do or to stay away from?
I think it kind of limits you if you're told, well, that's not right. Well, then, look at Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Like, that song is, all over the place, and it is, like, iconic. I'd say if some songwriting teacher was in there when that was happening, they'd be like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But it's just perfect, and it works. Like, there should be no limits when it comes to music. Just do whatever you want. But even, like, I find with me, I have my own habits of writing, and I get in my own kind of... I have my own equation, if that makes sense. What's it called?
Or method? Or
yeah, I have my own kind of thing, and sometimes I fall into the same thing. And this year, I really wanted to try and break away from the certain kind of structure and things that I've been doing. So I've been recently trying to do that. I think I pushed the limit on myself because I thought, right, people like this song, so I need to write songs that are more like that. Do you know what I mean? But that was limiting myself. And I found that the songs that I was writing weren't as good. So whatever comes, write, and don't stop yourself from writing things that you don't think is right. Otherwise, you'll never grow as a songwriter, you'll never grow as an artist. It's all about just trying new things.
So with the new EP then, is that going to sound quite different to what you've done before?
I think it is very different from anything I've done before. The songs... some of the songs touch on similar things. Like Plastic is on the EP, but it's a different mix. And then there's a song called Pretty Boy, and it for me is like Plastic's sister, but it is different. And then there is Blood Diamonds, which is like it's reminiscent of like chain gang kind of sounds and really weird like wooden boxes and things like that. And then you have Angels and Demons, that's like mad drums and stuff. And if you look back at like all my older stuff from when I first started, like White Piano or like The Pictures, like I think those songs are still on SoundCloud, completely different, and you swear I was a different person. But that just shows that I've grown as an artist since then, and I'm delighted with that. Anyway, it would annoy me if I didn't show any change in what I was doing. Do you know what I mean? At least I know that I'm trying to change.
So as your ideas grow then, as it gives you more opportunity to collaborate with different people, who have you collaborated with, we'll say, in recent times that have excited you?
I have never co-written, and I have recorded with the same producer for basically all my songs except one. So I actually was saying to my manager the other day that I'd love to like co-write, because that as well, like you get ideas and you see things in a new light, or like I could have a song that I'm not 100% sure on, and they could come in and be like, no, what if you do this and this, and it goes to the next level. So yeah, I don't know, I sang with Gavin James back in the Tree Arena. Like look at where he is. Like he's huge, and he'd be an inspiration in terms of like career goals and where you want to go and how to get out there. He just kept going. Like he was going for a long time,
yeah.
And he just kept going and going, and look at him now, you know what I mean?
He gigs a lot. He does gig a lot.
He is non-stop. It's like he's off tour, he's back on tour like 2 weeks later. He's some worker.
Yeah. I think since we started our show about 18 months ago, I think he's been in Brighton about three times, I think, which is crazy.
That is kind of crazy,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, a town in England, but he does get out there and do quite a lot. I suppose for yourself touring then, what do you have planned for the next 6 months, 7 months, the rest of the year?
From now until September, it's just all festivals, and we haven't looked past that because the EP will be coming out now, so we'll have to focus on that and finish the festivals, and then I'll probably have to start recording more stuff. So that's the plans for now. And then, I don't know, maybe another Irish tour, maybe some dates in England.
Yeah.
It'd be cool, yeah.
So you're doing Glastonbury again this year. Now, last year, you were trending on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, you do tend to use it quite a bit. How do you find all that kind of malarkey?
I don't know. I just write. Like, I don't even know what I'm writing, but I don't really care either.
Yeah.
Like, Twitter is a weird one. You just say loads of random stuff. That's it. Yeah. Same like Instagram. You just, I don't know. I'm liking Instagram a lot lately compared to other things. But yeah, I seem to be always on Twitter these days. Just, I don't even know what I'm saying. And sometimes I'd be hammered and I'm like waking up the next morning and I check my tweets. I'm like, delete. I have to delete half of them. So I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, this is the thing. In the age of screenshotting now, you might be caught out.
I know. I'd say people have not even screenshots, just even read some of the stuff that I've said when I've been out and just been like, what? Even my Snapchat stories or like my Instagram stories, just been like, what is going on?
Is your father on Twitter? Because I seem to recollect a few months ago we did a Ones to Watch in 2017 and you were on that list. I've got a feeling he might have retweeted it.
No, Dad's not. Dad's not into technology, but Mum is.
It might have been her then, or it might have been one of them, yeah.
Could have been. Because I think Mum's Twitter picture is like the sun or something like that. It's like some sun thing, so it could easily have been...
It could have been her.
Yeah, it could have. It's probably her, though.
Perfect. Listen, Anya, thanks very much for chatting, and I suppose you've got a few hours now to go before the gig. It's just 6:30 now, 10:30 coming up. What kind of music are you going to do this evening? What kind of songs? New stuff? Old stuff?
It's like a mix of both. There's Plastic, and then there'll be Pretty Boy from the new EP, and Blood Diamonds from the new EP, and then Black Dahlia. And we're doing a cover. We have one cover, and it's Shape of You by Ed Sheeran, and I kind of love our version that we do. And I was contemplating, I was like, should we do it or should we not? But we are. And then I have like a new song that hasn't even been recorded yet. It's called Psycho, and it is like bang smack in the middle, I think. Yeah. I think that's Paper Crown. That is from my old EP, and that's on it as well. I don't know if I'm forgetting any. Don't think so.
You have to crack through it quite quickly. You've got a half an hour to do it.
I know, only half an hour. I think we have 8 songs. So I usually talk a load of like scutter to have like throughout my set, like after every song. But I've been warned, and I won't be doing that tonight. I'll have to go really fast.
Well, listen, thank you very much for chatting to us. Anyway, thank you very much for taking the time.
Thanks so much for having me on. Thank you.